Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Yo, what's up, Quip and Brigade? On this episode, we have comedian DC Benny, and here we discuss how much time should you spend with your mate, what it's like for your dad to date a younger woman, Kanye West. At 34 minutes, we talk about Kanye West.
There you go.
And tone policing.
That's right.
This is interesting.
Yeah, and also, guys, we continue the show. That's the first show. But on Patreon, we do bonus content, so join us on patreon.com/manschool202 because we continue our conversation with DC Benny. We're talking about spotting pathological liars. We talk about political correctness in comedy, being understanding, and a lot more. So we're always doing bonus content. Patreon.com/manschool202 because it helps us keep the show going. So thank you. And we do listener mail from time to time. Join us over at patreon.com. Enjoy the show.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man. Put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't. Yo, what's up, y'all? GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do to sexual revolutions in podcasts? And then I am excited. Now, I know I've said that 500 times before, but this time I mean it. We got a special guest, but first and foremost, what's going on, Harry? You ready to rock and roll?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. You know me. I was born ready to rock and roll. That's what the doctors said. They're like, this kid looks like he was born ready.
Ready to rock and roll?
Yeah.
I want to get into my guest today. He's been on the show a couple of times. Looks like he's in the trucker convoy right now.
Oh, Jesus.
Looks as deceiving. Brooklyn's own. Good friend of mine. Funny dude. Been on Comedy Central. All kinds of stuff. Give it up for my boy DC Benny. DC yeah. Benny, give it up.
Hey man, it's good to be here. Good
same,
to be
same,
here, gentlemen. You know,
how you holding up, brother? We haven't really spoke in a minute. I know you've been doing West Side a little bit, right?
What do you call it? What have I been doing? Eastville a little bit. It's Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn.
Yeah, a little bit. You know.
Yeah. Doing a lot of real estate stuff and how's your wife's business? I remember your wife had this, skin
and
soap, body, bath and body.
Kind of. It's going well, man. We moved out. Look, here's what happened. Right before COVID, we moved from Brooklyn to this little town out in Long Island. It's way out, and it's not the suburbs. It's like the country. It's like this is my shit, man.
Right. This is your jam.
You're all in. You've invested. You're all in on it. You're digging it because you got the
blend in out here, man.
The trucker hat going. You got the flannel shirt and the
you all
the
in.
Jacket over it. The chopping jacket, the wood cut.
Little Carhartt, got a Carhartt flannel. It's going.
Let me ask you this, Benny. Do you have truck balls? Have you gone all the way?
Are you truck balls?
Okay,
no truck balls,
that's the final phase.
But you still keep some Brooklyn shit around. You
know? Oh, Jesus. But I noticed you didn't pull it out of your sock, Benny. You didn't pull that knife out of your sock. It was just right there in plain sight. That's the difference, country style.
Yeah, Brooklyn, you got to keep it close.
That's a sock one. Oh, you got to pull out the shorter sock one. All right, I apologize. I take it back.
He's all in. That's cool.
Oh, shit, man. But yeah, we moved out to this little town. And it's by the beach, and I love it, man. It's like vineyards and beach. It's not like the Hamptons is in the opposite direction.
Okay.
We're just in this little area, and it's some small town shit, man. And right. I love it. And then, but you know, I gotta to go to the city now to do comedy. It's like I gotta plan out a lot of
yeah.
Like it was not like I could hop on the F train and go do you know 5 sets on a Wednesday night or whatever.
Yeah.
Life has changed a lot, you know.
Yeah.
It's changed a lot for me, man. But, you know, it's all good. You know, it's,
I mean, because you were in Brooklyn for years, always a city dude. Where'd you grow up initially?
In Washington, D.C. My dad's from East New York. He moved to from Saratoga and Pitkin Avenue. Mm-hmm. He moved to D.C. You know, that's where I grew up. And then, you know, I moved to New York and mm-hmm. I stayed in the city a little bit. I was in the Bronx, Times Square, and then I ended up back in Brooklyn. And I the majority of this is like 94.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Probably since about 94, I've been in Brooklyn. And then, you know, these last 2 years right before COVID out here in the, you know, it's something else, man.
How do you like it or?
I love it, man. I mean, I got kind of burnt out, you know, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of felt as though you were kind of edgy, like you were, you know, you had enough of it, you know. I mean, even your comedy was about people annoying you in parking spots and stuff, you know. So, you know, that kind of becomes the thing.
Yeah, man, I got a little burnt out. You know, I got sick of, you know, cars getting broken into and this and that and just constant shit. And, you know, I love Brooklyn. I will always love Brooklyn. But I like now. So now I go visit it. You know, I come back to the city. I spend a weekend. I do some shows. And then I come back here. It's quiet. I can go in the backyard. I can go out there with the dog.
I can
you know, go to the beach, jump. I'm 10 minutes from the beach. I can go jump in the water. As soon as it gets warm, boom, I go jump in the water every morning. Right. It's nice. I love it, man.
Yeah, decompress a little bit. Yeah.
You know.
And I know you were helping your wife with her business, the Bed and Body Works and stuff like that. She was making her own stuff. And, you know, I always think about that. And I always think about how you, you know, were involved in it in a way, in a protective way of her. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the last thing I thought I would be doing, I'm the shipping department.
Right.
Business. But the last thing I thought I'd be doing is be working with Bath and Body stuff or whatever. But it's, you know, it's my wife. She makes good stuff. Mm-hmm. There was a point in Brooklyn, we were doing it out of Brooklyn where she has this stuff called Butter All Over. Right.
Right. Right.
It's the best moisturizer ever that, you know, this shit is unbelievable.
Right.
And people get addicted to it like crack. People love this stuff. So
right.
I remember there was a point where it was like one jar left because we were all out of it. And she was like, look, this lady's coming in a Subaru Outback. Just go. We don't want her to know where we are because she's a little kooky in the head. Mm-hmm. Just go wait out on the corner and she's going to come pick it up. She's going to report you the money. Don't let her short you the money or whatever. And I'm out there like a fucking crack dealer,
like
with
a drug dealer,
all over my jacket, you know.
Yeah.
Going, she showed up with somebody else. You're like, I thought you were coming alone. What is what's this about?
And the lady's trying to short me, you know, give me $30 or whatever. It's crazy, but you know, it's you're with somebody, you're all in. You know, she has always had my back with comedy all these years, and then she launched this thing, and we gotta, you know, I help out. I never thought that that's something I would be doing, but here I am. I'm doing it, and
right.
It's all good, man. It's all good.
How is the business doing? Is it to the point where y'all are still sucking wind, or is it to the point where it's got a little off the runway?
It's good. It's off the runway. You know, she had a West Elm picked up her stuff, and then a bunch of big stores, mm-hmm. and then now she does most of it's online. Mm-hmm. So most of it's on. She has a brick and mortar near here in a town called Greenport.
Okay.
And but the majority of it's online. So, you know, just she makes it. She has people make candles. This, that, boom, pack it up, ship it out. It's it's good, man. It's good. I mean, that's where, you know, you've got to. We're at that age where it's just like, I'm not a young dude anymore running around these clubs.
Right.
You know, I'm sort of keeping an eye on how I'm going to retire.
Right.
I'm going to be comfortable and how I'm not going to be sitting there full of regrets because Comedy Central didn't give me another special or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, it was. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Well, you know, it's an interesting too now because it's like it's kind of like you said that everything is online. Yeah. And so, I mean, you know, the pandemic really kind of changed the dynamic of everything. I mean, even when it comes to acting and stuff like that right now, is one of the things I was having a discussion with a couple of black actors that I know. And so there was a time when acting itself was black or Latino was a genre. Yeah. If you have black people in it, it's a black film and it's a genre. And now because of the fact that there's so many streaming outlets that nothing you do matters. And I mean, not that it doesn't matter. It matters in terms of you building your fan base. But it's almost like the thing that you and I grew up with came up in the business where, like, be funny and then they'll find out that you're funny and then they'll give you the special and then this and that. And that's all done. Everything is online. Everything is social media. But also what you find is because things are so spread out in terms of so many streaming opportunities. Now, just having a black movie is so. Now you have black movies who are horror films and romantic comedies and this and that. They're just because of the need of the content, and
it's
so
not just New Jack City over and over again.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And so it gives you. And I was just wondering if. You know, so even the body butter and stuff like that literally could make you, you know, you can end up like making hundreds of thousands of dollars if you're producing and you're pushing it and you have a good product and you're reaching the people and they're into it. It's, you know, it's a solely different thing, you know, whereas the frustration of comedy, I don't know if it's there as much. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, for me, here's the beauty of it. Here's the beauty of it. It's like all this stuff is related. It's now because of us coming together, working on this kind of side business, you know, I just have the ability to say no to the shit gigs that right. I do not have the ability. You know, you got to pay the rent.
You ain't got to do Roger Paul's gig.
Right. $200 up in fucking
Philly, you know, and bring a middle.
You know, you know what I mean? Or whatever the hell it is. You know, it's like I'm able to do that. I'm able to be more selective. And really the business really has changed in the auditioning process. Like I can audition from here, man.
Right, but everything is the self-tape now.
I love that, man. I hate going to those rooms. I hate going and auditioning in those rooms. I get nervous, you know, I forget stuff. You know, you have to deal with casting directors' personalities and all that kind of stuff. But, dude, from here, you know, I'm like, I'll sit down in my living room and put, you know, bam, and I'm like, I don't like this.
Set up your ring light and do it as many times as you want to do it.
Ring light right here, you know, whatever. And I think it's certainly I'm better suited for that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's worked better, you know, it's worked better. I've got little things here and there going because of just being able to not be in that room with those casting directors. I used to be the thing to do, but I'd rather not. You know, if they like it, they like it. Here it is. Take a look. Bam. You know.
Now, here's the thing. How long you been married now?
26 years.
Wow.
26 years.
It's crazy. That's crazy.
I know.
What have you? Okay, so because of the fact that it's you're not, you know, I mean, there was so much time that we spent running out in the street, running in the streets. So, you know, we weren't around a lot of times. You weren't around your mate. Now you're around your mate all the time. I mean, you can't even go, oh, I got to go to the city
for an audition. You don't even get that breather. Yeah, you don't get that breather if you need it.
You know, what have you learned from that, would you say?
You know, what I've learned from it is that's the great make or break. That if you cannot spend time with your mate, I mean, and I'm talking about time. I'm talking about spending time is like doing time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean, if you got a cellmate, and if you don't get along with your cellmate, you know, your roommate, your wife or whatever, then it's going to show, and then it's all going to go down the shitter.
Right.
Fortunately, we get along very well. We like the same shit. We, you know, the sex is good for it's better than it's ever been. Wow. I don't know if this is the place to talk about it, but this.
This is the place to talk about it.
Man, I mean, and I never would have thought that, but you know, we upped our game in that department. And then it's like you fine tune the shit where it's like, okay, I'm going to watch this show Top Boy on Netflix. You're not going to like that. So you probably want to go watch whatever you watch up there.
Yeah.
It works out, you know. Yeah. I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to go hang out with my friends here. You're going to go hang out with your friends here. And you just make.
Why do you think why do you think the sex is better now, or what changed?
Got it like down to a like it's like cooking, man. Like he knows exactly what I like, what she cooks, and I know what she likes, and we know all the spots, and we know what we don't like, and we can be honest about it. Like if this shit's not working, this the tongue game or whatever is not working to get or whatever it is.
Right.
Left. I'm not going to get my feelings hurt after this, you know, or
after 26 years. How long did it take for you to get to the point where you start? I mean, because to be honest, you could always have gotten to this. The problem is, I think that we're afraid to be honest about just to be who we are. Because we don't want to lose the person. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that once you feel you've solidified your relationship, you've solidified that you can be honest enough where it's like, you know, look, if stuff is not working that day and you got to tap out, it's not the end of the world. It's not the
right.
This never happens, whatever that kind of, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like you kind of, you adjust and you move and you, I don't know. It's kind of like friendships, man. It's kind of like friendships where as you grow, I have a hard time making friends now because I tolerate so much less bullshit and I meet somebody and I'm like, okay, we could hang out. We got some similar interests, boom, boom, boom. And then they'll do something fucked up and I'm like, you know, I don't even want to work through that.
Right.
I'm here. I'm 54 years old. I don't have time for all that. You know.
Now is it that you don't want to work through it or is it so because I have that same problem where I'll be like, "Oh, this guy might be I might have a new friend and then they'll do something." But I think what makes me not want to, because it's not just working through the thing. It's that the thing is a subtext for something else. Like it's a red flag that leads into something else. So
if somebody disappoints you, they're going to disappoint you again in a much bigger way.
Yeah.
And the three of us being in this kind of business have had a lifetime of disappointments.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't need to add to that. I've got an armada of disappointments. Right. You know, right. I don't want to add to that shit. You know, surprise me with some positivity.
Yeah.
Do something to the table. You know what I mean? But this little shit, you know, that you're doing now, later on you're going to do it again. This is
right.
Who you are.
And I think that there's a reasonable, I think we're reasonable about, but I think even on the, you know, when people are dating, they put their best foot forward. And a lot of times in friendships, they don't. They're like, yo, this is what I am, whatever, whatever. You tell me you're going to call me, you don't call me, whatever. And it seems like, you know, then what you get is this thing, oh, man, I didn't know you were this sensitive. And it's not that I'm sensitive. It's that I have a specific standard that I want to operate on and that I expect of people. There's a certain way that I expect people to treat me and so on and so forth. I had a...
Also, your time is precious. Time, you realize like how valuable time is, especially as you get older, you get less and less of it.
Well, you know, I say all the time that I've seen more sunsets than I'm going to see.
Yeah.
And I'm not willing to waste them on you if that you're not.
I don't got time for your boring stories. Yeah. I don't got time for your nonsense. Watch shitty shows, ironic movies. I don't got time anymore.
I think there was a time as I got older, I felt like I got to the point where I was like, I'm not going to deal with people who I feel like take away from it's always difficult. It's always difficult to be your friend, somebody that. Of course, I'm with you. It costs me a meal. It costs me time. It costs me energy. It costs me aggravation. And so I started, you know, but then you kind of feel an obligation because the person is giving you energy. So you feel that's so you don't want to be a dick where you just shut it down. And then I got a little older and then I was like, not only am I not going to deal with people who don't add to, just if they add to my life, that's one thing. But also if they add to my life, if they're not.
If they don't add to your life. If they're not adding something to your life, you cut them out.
I was going to say was that even if it's neutral, if you're in my life and you don't, even if it's not a problem, like even if it's okay, I get rid of those too. Because of the, you know, the whole thing of having more sunsets, seeing more sunsets than so wasting time is at this age.
Sometimes Dante, I could see a visual clock over his head as someone's telling him a boring story, and the stopwatch starts going. I go, oh my god, you got like 10 seconds to say something interesting because he is gonna tune out. This is a shot clock. Dante has a 24-second shot clock above him every conversation he has. And then if you don't say anything interesting, they blow the whistle and there's shot clock violation.
Just give up the ball. You got to give up the ball. You know,
also, man, you know, right around, it wasn't this past year, kind of the year before, I had some health issues that came out of nowhere, okay. Right? And that stuff puts everything in perspective, which, you know, I know you had some shit way back. You're in the intensive care. Yeah. And you're like, I'm shaking the rug. If I get out of here, if I make it through this, I'm shaking a rug. All the riprap is going.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All the takers are going.
Yeah.
There's no reason.
But I don't even give the neutral anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, even the ones, okay, you don't take nothing, but you don't add it. If I'm not excited about seeing you, it's one, I mean, you and I have always had a really good relationship where it was, I mean, we've never been like close, but it's always like when I see you, it's like, ah, oh, you know, like it's, you get that feeling, oh, this is going to be cool. You know what I mean? There's going to be laughs and, huh?
It's always good. It's always good, man. You say some shit that's going to make me laugh. It's not like you're trying to suck information from me. It's not 20 who books that. Can you put in? It's not. I'll do it. But you know what I mean? It's not that. It's just we're going to have a conversation.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. You got your own shit going on.
Yeah.
That, you know, I can see. I'll say, you know, I see you in stuff all the time.
Right.
You know, and you got your opinions and we don't agree on everything, you know.
Right.
But I like that. You know, I like it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're an original, you know.
No, I appreciate that. And I think the same thing about you, but I think it also, I mean, but it's like when you have a wife where they bring, like, I have this, I had a young lady give me the finger, was dating her, and I was like, don't do that. And they was like, well, you were teasing me. I go, yeah, but I don't give you the finger. And she was like, well, why are you being so, I go, don't give me the finger. Like, I don't curse at you. I don't want you, because there's never a situation, like, I still do the consultations. There's never a situation where somebody's doing that and it doesn't get worse. It always gets worse.
Yeah.
Even if it's playful, and it just always gets worse. So I have no problem. Like I say, I could be out of this relationship yesterday. We could stop doing this yesterday. If you don't want to do it,
heat mode. You're always in heat mode where you're ready to leave that movie. What was that line in the movie Heat where he's like,
"Oh yeah, you got to be able to leave in 60 seconds. You pick up a bag and leave." Yeah.
Do you say you got to treat a relationship like a bank robbery?
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
But I think you get to the, you're so right that you get to the point where, you know, like you guys have both been in the relationship for so long that it's like you're not afraid of, okay, if I say the, I mean, and the bottom line is if we change and we don't get along, we probably shouldn't be together anyway. Like, let's figure how to split this up and go our separate ways to be happy anyway. But I think people are so insecure about what their personal value is that they don't want to be honest about what they really like or they don't like or what's a problem or what's not a problem, and they're holding back. And that never goes away ever. If it's a problem now, it'll be a problem later. And if you can't come to some kind of compromise in that, it's also okay. It's okay. You know,
you gotta be, you know, here's this thing that I've been dealing with lately that I think you might be interested in this, because okay. I tell people this and they get, so my dad, okay. My mom died about 9 years ago, something like that. My dad, you know, every night lit a candle, you know, he took care of her. She got Alzheimer's and all this. Mm-hmm. This shit's not funny, but whatever.
Right.
So then it was like, all right, Pop, you know, you want to start dating and this kind of stuff. You know, he's 80, he was 80 something at the time.
Right.
He tried dating online on fucking J-Date. And he's like, everybody looks like Philip Seymour Hoffman. He doesn't do anything. It's like, you know, they're all like, yeah, you got a car, you don't have a car, whatever. So 86 years old, this girl he knew, this younger woman that he knew from way, way back, mm-hmm. okay, popped up, and now they're living together.
How much younger?
49, dude. She's okay. 49. He's 86. She's 49. He's not. Wow. He's not a rich man.
Right.
You know?
Right.
He's not a. He's a. You know. Whatever. So he's just an artist. He paints. She's. So I'm like, it's been hard for me to accept that and to be like, I don't, you know, are there ulterior motives? Like what the deal is? It's a hard, it's such a change of life, man, to have that shit happen. I figured this might be a place to talk about it.
Well, yeah. It's a great, well, here's something interesting. I have three older sisters.
Yeah.
One of my sisters is married. Two of my sisters is married. One is probably late 70s. She's got a younger dude. My middle sister was living with me in the house. She literally just moved out because we're getting ready to sell the house and we have to partition it because the house is, everybody has a portion of the house. And so we're trying to straighten that out. But what's interesting about this, and this is really interesting, and you know, when I say this to women, is your value as a man goes up as you get older. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to pull a 20-year-old with a fat booty swinging on a pole, although you might. You might. But when you really start to, let me rewind. So my sister, when she was in this, she was like 70, 72. She had this guy who was a bus driver. He was getting ready to, maybe a little older than that, maybe 60 something. He was going to retire. He was a little older. He was driving a New York City bus. He was going to retire. They were going to get a house and move down south to North Carolina. Now, my middle sister is a cunt. Like, she is, like, she moved out of this house. I probably will never see her again. Uh-huh. And I mean, not even on the funeral. I'm not going to the funeral. Just a nasty person, just always taking, always abusive, always. And every time I've tried to maintain, have some kind of relationship with, always oversteps her boundaries.
So you guys don't get along.
But she's also just a horrible person. And she's always been selfish and horrible and stuff. But what happens is she was a hottie when she was younger. And so, you know, what happens is you're a hottie when you're young, and then you realize nobody gives a fuck about, like, nobody's buying no 50-year-old pussy. No, nobody's getting a Corolla with 300,000 miles on it. Nobody's buying that. They don't, and you can't demand a price for that. And so, even at 40, you talk about she's 49 years old. Like, for instance, my sister, this guy was like, he was one of those guys that repeated the same story over again, and they used to argue and fight. But after he retired, then they were dating, and then she was like, well, what are you gonna, she was trying to pressure him to get married and all, and he dumped her, right? And then I watched from 60s to maybe the last 10 to 12 years, she's alone.
Her 60s or the 1960s?
She was 60 years old, 60 something years old, and she's getting older. And so what you don't understand is, and we see this over and over again, women are dying alone. They are dying alone. First of all, we die first. Yeah. Men die, we die earlier, but that's across the board. So a lot of times when you go in these senior citizens' homes, the reason why they have these huge, you know, they have these huge STD epidemics, because they're sharing men. And the reason why they're sharing men, because your dad, who's an artist, first of all, he's an artist, so that's kind of cool. Like, he's kind of a creative and a kind of a worldly dude. You know what I mean? He is a commodity. And women don't want to be alone. I mean, all of the things that we look at when young women are young and they're, oh, I'm this, I'm that, I got my opinion. Nobody gives a fuck. When you're getting your dude my sister was dating was absolutely verbally abusive. I mean, she is too, but he's verbally. She would sign up for that in a minute, now, because now she was in this house and she was literally getting her laundry done and talking to the laundry guy or getting the groceries delivered just so she can have, because I wasn't talking to her. I'm done talking to her. So she has no friends. There's no opportunities. And then when you start to realize that just the camaraderie of just having human connection with
someone.
No one
wants to be alone. No. People don't want to be alone. Nobody wants that. And you know what's interesting that you mentioned, I don't know if all this shit's supposed to be funny or whatever, but there seems to be an epidemic of deterioration of families where it's like everybody I talk, like I got a brother I don't speak to in my family.
Right.
He doesn't speak to my dad, one of the brothers. But I never grew up like that. I never thought that was going to happen.
Right, right.
You said you got a sister you don't speak. It seems like there's an epidemic of that shit.
Well, I got two sisters that I don't speak to. But
you don't speak
to. Yeah, but a lot of it had to do with the fact that they were their behavior, that their negative behavior was coddled by my parents. So they've always been cunty and bitches and whatever. And nobody ever said, my parents never said, this is inappropriate behavior. You cannot act this way. And so this is, so they've been able to get away with it with me, and that, you know, when they're attractive and everybody's trying to fuck them, you know, they're getting away with it, and guys don't care. They'll tell you whatever they want to tell you to get in your drawers. And then all of a sudden, then you become, well, you know, gravity hits and you start, the thing that we were chasing, which is that little tight body and them titties and that little fat booty, is sagging. And now you got to have a personality.
Yeah. You got to, yeah.
And that's something we're working on all the time. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, just good time to be funny. Good time if everything is going south to be funny and nice.
Be nice or thoughtful or
charming, interesting.
Charming, interesting. And so when you say your dad's an artist,
you don't have to develop when you're just hot, you know, and you got, you know, when you have the market geared towards you, right? And just guys are just flaunting, they're throwing themselves at you. You don't have to develop a skill to be interesting for survival purposes. And then you get caught suddenly, you know, you're 60 and you got no survival skills.
And then chivalry is dead because women killed it. Like, this is, you wanted this level of, I mean, you want this equality. So the equality is, okay, now you got to split the bill. Or you got to be as interesting as I am. Or so now when you're, you know, it's a weird thing. I get so many consultations with guys our age.
Yeah.
And he's in a marriage that he's miserable in. Right. And he's like, oh, I can't, you know, it's been so long. I mean, what else am I going to do? And I'm like, dude, dog, you have no idea that you are a fucking commodity right now. Like, a dude like you, mixed gray beard, comedy, funny, interesting. You know what I'm? You also have a level of resources because you've been accumulated. Because you can't be a bum. Like, we would date a chick from that's on the fry doing fries at the White Castle because she's hot. But you and I can't do, even if we're hot, you can't do that. You still, there's got to be more to you than just that. And it's really kind of interesting because I think society is dishonest with women about, but just the way you're the commodity on the front end, you are not the commodity on the back end. Men are the commodity. I can't tell you how many times I've dated.
I think part of that though too, Dante, is it's society. I think women as a whole, they set up a system where for themselves, if it doesn't work, they move the goal marker of what should work. So if somebody breaks up with a woman, it's like, well, you're too independent. He didn't like that you're too powerful, independent, blah, blah, blah. No, whatever.
You were just a bitch.
Like, right.
You just,
it may not be that at all.
Yeah. It's really not. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I understand that there's men, like when you look at this Kanye shit where somebody's, he's just a fucking clown who was raised by his mama. So he's got really a lot of bitch energy. And so what he's doing, you know, with all the money and I'm a genius and I'm a voice of a generation, but you're still a clown. You're like, how do you think that your response to this is attractive in any way, shape, or form?
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
But there's this level of I think we're dishonest.
Yeah.
So, I mean, women go, well, I get it, man. I get, you know, you're 50 years old, you're 30, 40 pounds overweight, which is, look, I'm in the worst shape that I've ever been in my life. But the difference is that there's more to me than just that. There's always been more. I mean, years ago, I was dating younger girls, and I remember specifically, I was dating this girl. She was a stripper. I'm like 26 years old. She had a BMW, and she lived in the Bronx. Well, I don't know why you would have a BMW and you're living in a project or whatever. But every day they would steal
some
her.
Some people can't move out of the project.
They would steal her mirrors. They would steal the mirrors, right? Not the whole mirror, but the inside of the mirror, because you could get like $75 to $100 per mirror. So the guys were stealing. So I had a guy who would put the metal racks around the mirrors so you couldn't take the mirrors out, right? So she was like, you know, they keep stealing my mirrors. I go, listen, go see my man Pedro. Here's the address. I already spoke to him. Da 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 da. And then she never lost the mirror again. So it's like when you're a 50-year-old guy, you know a guy.
Yeah.
You got a guy. And if you don't got a guy, you know, you could call me.
A guy who knows a guy.
You know me who knows a guy who's got a guy for whatever. Yo, let me ask you something. Can you, the roof is leaking, the plumbing's, if you don't do it yourself, you got a guy. And those resources are comforting when those tragedies happen. Where a 20-year-old dude, he don't got a guy.
No, he doesn't know. He better be handy. Yeah. You better be real handy. Yeah.
And they're not. And if you got a six pack and you doing pull ups in the park every day, you're probably not handy. You don't have the resources. And then because you're hot, everybody in the club is trying to fuck you anyway.
Yeah.
So you're dishonest, disloyal, and you don't got no resources. Go ahead, Harry.
I wanted to go back to the Kanye West thing. About that for a second, because we went by that, because that's just a crazy story in general of just that behavior that you're allowed to get away with because you're famous. But it's stalking behavior. Like, it's crazy insanity and not being able to let it go. And he does have medical issues for sure, but there also comes a time where you have to take responsibility as well.
Look, yeah, there's medical issues, but what you're talking about is a dude who's a clown. You're a clown. Yeah, I get you. You're just a clown. If you're responding in these ways to somebody not wanting to be around you, you're a clown. Like if you're going, oh, you somebody that's going through somebody else's phone or somebody that's their GPS and you chase, like what you're saying is my value is not enough to keep you. What I have to offer is not enough, and that's one of the things that you deal with on a real basis. Where when you are a guy who has established himself as a man in life, just you literally feel like you have value, like you bring value. Like even when you talk about when you're talking about dealing with your wife's business. Like, what's a 25-year-old dude with a six-pack? Like, what? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
God bless the man. God bless. You know, I think back to the one thing with the Kanye thing is also you got to look at the fact that there's a track record of, you know, when you act crazy, it ends up in the news, it makes you money.
Yeah.
It's your brand. So you're really, it's really marketing. You know, it keeps you in the news. It keeps you like Trump. You know, you do shit, and it's just I'm not a fan of all that. But that's a lot of what that can potentially be. But yeah, as you are a man in life, as you get older, you get knowledge, you get experiences. You know, I mean, I fix shit, man. I'm doing plumbing stuff. I'm doing floors, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, you know, stuff I never thought I would do, but like my dad showed me some stuff when I was younger. I know a little bit here. There's YouTube.
Right. That's the thing. Anything you want to learn, you can just, all you got to do is Google YouTube and step by step say, okay, this, that, and the other, you know. And if you got a few dollars in the pocket, you can buy the tool that makes it easy to do. You know, you can do the things. I remember I had a leaky sink, kitchen sink. So you know how the drain, you screws into the bottom of the sink and the pipe it screws into it. But there's a tool that goes, there's like a fork, that goes in the sink that you turn, that it's like almost like an Allen wrench but with a fork in it. That if you don't have that tool, you can't fix the sink. You know what I mean? It's fundamentally, but you gotta actually
You got to do the research.
You
got
to do the research. You got to do. You got to have the patience to even want to do that. But I think what's happening now is, you know, and don't get me wrong. I mean, I don't want to act like I'm some kind of cad. Like I don't understand, you know, the abuse and the sexual abuse and the Me Too and all this. I totally understand that men wild the fuck out way beyond what they should have. I mean, I'm mortified. I mean, I was watching the Anita Hill, Clarence Thomas thing, and it's like, it's cringeworthy.
Yeah.
The questions that, so we understand that but still, there's an overcorrection for the undercorrection. We things were so bad that there's, and then there's an overcorrection, and now you got women who instantly say men have no value. They da 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 da. But you're the one that has no value. Your booty ain't that fat no more. Your prick titties ain't that perky. So what else is going on? What else do you have to offer? I didn't mean to cut you off.
Now, you know, I was just going to say to append to that, like I was talking to my other brother, my brother that I'm tight with, and he's out in Los Angeles, right? And he's he designs cars and urban living situations.
Nice. Okay.
All right. He just did this... he got hired by this company to do this kind of sort of a tiny house on wheels.
Okay.
Right? So he's in this company and it's like everything's all politically correct and this and that. And he gets to kind of, now he's at a point where he's like hiring people to work for him. So he hires a lot of women to work for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's my gay brother. He hires a lot of women to work for him. He has a good rapport with them.
Right, right.
And it's like a frat boy environment.
Right.
Hires a lot of women. This shit happens. This is unbelievable. So they have the communication there is mostly through texting, you know? So there's a girl there that's kind of working for him that's very ambitious. And he texts her something. They go back and forth. And then he texts her something. He says, you know what? I don't want, because this is a text, because it's not written, the tone might be off. So let's have an actual conversation, a face-to-face conversation.
Right.
So she complains to the owner of the company that he's tone policing. She said that you're tone policing. Which I've never heard before. This is some
No, this is the first one I've heard. First time I've heard this.
Tone policing. He ends up getting fired. And she ends up getting his job, you know, which is that was on her list. You know, she wanted his job.
Right, right.
And she was like, you know, he's being sexist. He's being this. He's being that. He's the one who hired her. He hired all women in the company.
Within
a frat boy kind of environment, environment. And then there's this tone policing shit where he's like, let's just have a conversation. So this isn't out of context. But that's the fucking world we live in, man. That's like, it's like on comedy, it's on everything. It's like you have to overcorrect yourself to the point where you cannot say anything, no matter what. You're not judged by your actions, by what your track record is, by what, you know, your standard of what you've created. You know, as a comedian, you've created funny shit,
right?
But a little fucking tone policing text, and it's like. I'm sure you probably talked about this.
But how long ago was that? How long ago was that?
A week ago. Yeah.
Wow. Because we're gonna do something behind the Patreon if you don't mind. So we're gonna stop it. Anything you want to plug? Social media? Anything you want to plug?
Let me plug. Okay. So Real DC Benny on Instagram.
Okay.
And I'm on this new Amy Schumer show. Life and Beth on Hulu.
Dope.
And then there's a special on YouTube, free. They can watch the free special on YouTube.
Nice.
Drift and Predicaments, the Bill Burr company that produced it. So, dope. Those things, man.
Okay. Harry, talk to me.
Just all my stuff is at Harry Turjanian. That's it. All my social media, follow my YouTube stuff, TikTok, the whole thing.
Y'all know how to get me. Google me. You know all the social media. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The Sexual Revolution is being podcasted. Don't forget, if y'all want a one-on-one consultation, you can hit me at DanteNero.com. Click on consult, and you can book time with me. I love y'all. We're going to go to the Patreon side. And if y'all could support us, if you like what we're doing, support us on the Patreon. It really helps us to keep doing this. It's patreon.com/manschool202. Love y'all. We out.